Isaiah in the temple has this vision of the holiness of God, this vision which is almost overwhelming for him. And it raises this question for him, how does someone like me relate to this holy God? And Isaiah just imagines that he must die because he has now met with this holy God. How can that be? And it's always been a question. How do sinful, broken people living in a broken world, how do we relate to this perfect God, this holy, holy, holy God? How do we do that? How do we connect? How can we have any sort of relationship with such a God? Now you go back through the Bible and you find that God provides a system of sacrifices so that you can come to God, you can have a priest make a sacrifice on your behalf that will try to please God. And that's basically what the old tabernacle and the temple did. Sacrifices are continually made trying to please God, trying to keep the law, trying to observe all the regulations that have been put into place. But it's far from perfect. It's far from perfect. As you read through this passage, and I invite you to open your Bibles at Hebrews chapter 7 there, page 1205 in the Pew Bible. As you read through this passage, two things are made clear. One is that the old system was far from perfect, and then it points to Jesus, who is perfect. So verse 18 of this chapter simply says, the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. So the old regulations, the old system in the temple, it was weak, it was useless, it made nothing perfect, it was frustrating. It just kept going and yet never seemed to get anywhere, never seemed to really achieve anything. It was weak. It was useless. Verse 23 says there have been many of these priests, many of these people who made these sacrifices since death prevented them from continuing in office. They couldn't go on forever. They either got too old or they died and someone new came in. So it wasn't permanent. They would offer sacrifices day after day. Verse 27 says, they offered sacrifices day after day, first for their own sins and then for the sins of the people. These weren't perfect, these priests. They had their own sins that they needed to get sorted out. They made sacrifices for themselves and then for the people. So there was all of this going on. It was weak. It was not permanent. It was far from perfect. And yet it demonstrated the seriousness of the situation. It demonstrated how seriously this holy God took the whole issue of sin. And we forget that. We forget it so easily. Because when God stops being holy in our heads and our hearts, then sin doesn't really matter so much. If God's not holy, then sin's not really a big issue. If sin's not really a big issue, then you and I don't need a Savior. And we start in this spiral that just drags us down. We lose sight of the holiness of God. Sin begins not really to be such an issue. And then why do we need a Savior? And we get pulled down. If it did nothing else, the old system continually highlighted the fact that sin was an issue and that we could never deal with it and it would never come to an end from our point of view. And so the writer now introduces Jesus, You know, the strap line we've been using for these mornings when we're looking at Hebrews has been, Jesus is better, Jesus is greater. And that is the truth. Jesus is better, Jesus is greater. Verse 19 of this little passage simply says, a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. The law made nothing perfect, weak, useless, but a better hope is introduced. This is Jesus, a better hope. Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. And then verse 22 simply says that Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. The old covenant was far from perfect. God said it was perfect. God kept everything. But our side of it was not or never kept. So Jesus becomes the guarantee of a better covenant, a better hope, a better covenant. Because Jesus lives forever, verse 24, he has a permanent priesthood. The old priests came and went. Jesus lives forever. He has a permanent priesthood. He's able to save completely. The old translations used to say, to the uttermost. Verse 25 simply talks about Jesus saving completely. And those two words, there are two words in that verse that are so important. One is completely and the other is always. Jesus saves completely, not partly. Not giving you a little push in the right direction, hoping you get the rest of it right. Jesus saves completely. And Jesus always intercedes for you and for me. That's an amazing thing. Completely. And always. So, this morning as we ask that question, why Jesus? Well, the writer to the Hebrews, verse 26, simply says, such a high priest meets our need. This is why Jesus. The other high priests that came before him got it so far, but could not do it completely. Such a high priest as Jesus. This Jesus meets our need. Completely. That's why Jesus. This Jesus is always interceding for you, always on the Father's right hand praying for you and for me. That's why Jesus. Completely and always. He's holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Everything that the old priests couldn't be, Jesus is. Everything that you and I can't be, Jesus holds out to us. Such a high priest meets our needs. Why Jesus? Nobody and nothing else offers you that. No one and nothing else offers that perfect life as a sacrifice that we may come to know not only the forgiveness of sin, but life eternal. Only Jesus, such a priest, such a high priest, meets our needs. He sacrificed once and for all when he gave himself. Doesn't need to be done again. If you remember way back, we talked about the tabernacle. One of the interesting things about the old tabernacle was there's lots of bits of furniture in it, but the one bit of furniture that there isn't in the tabernacle is a chair. Because the priest's work was never done. There was never an occasion when the priest would say, "Whew, all finished, sit down." The Bible simply says, Jesus makes his sacrifice and sits down at the right hand of the Father. Job finished. Completely and always. That's what Jesus has done for you. John in his gospel records a time when people started to drift away from Jesus. Jesus maybe was making too many demands. bit too challenging, asking a bit too much. And people started to slowly drift away. And at one stage, Jesus turns to his disciples and simply says, well, are you going to go as well? Are you going to leave me as well? And Simon Peter answers him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Why, Jesus, to whom else are you going to go? He alone has the words of eternal life. We believe and we know that this Jesus is the Holy One of God. This Jesus is the High Priest who meets our need. That's why Jesus. And may those things change our lives. Because it's not just that Jesus has taken some of the rough edges off you, that he has pushed you along the road a little bit. Jesus has completely saved you. Hasn't just rescued you a little bit from some of those terrible sins in your lives. He has completely saved you. When he dies on the cross, when he rises again, it's not just a partial thing. Completely. And always. That's why Jesus, there's nothing weak about him. There's nothing incomplete. There's nothing impermanent. And in a world that pushes us around so much, here's the one to whom we turn. Here is the one who delivers what he promises. To whom shall we go? Let's pray together. Lord, we always look for that better thing, that greater thing. In the stuff that we gather up around us, Lord, we're looking for something better, something greater. And forgive us that you, the one who is infinitely better, infinitely greater, stand in front of us and we look elsewhere. Lord, forgive us. Open our eyes that we may see you just as surely as Isaiah witnessed and experienced your holiness. Open our ears, Lord, that we may hear you just as Isaiah heard you speak to him, not only of your holiness, but of your cleansing of him. And then, Lord, take us to that place where we need to be. Take us, Lord, to that cross where we may know that our need is met completely. And always. And we ask all of this for your glory and in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.